The Volume.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA.
From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. I still feel like the Nuggets are the team to beat this year, but some of these young squads might make some noise.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code Jenkins. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code Jenkins only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It's Wednesday, April 17th, and we are live on youtube.com/@JenkinsandJones. Hanging out after the playoff games. We'll be doing this a couple times a week for the duration. If you are listening to this in your podcast feed, go subscribe on YouTube. Come hang out with us after the games. Jackson's monitoring the chat. You can get some jokes off with us and enjoy these late night basketball sessions. You know, come hang out. We're having fun. We're comparing how many gray hairs we have in our beards at the top of the show.
Riveting content.
Old man hours for sure, dog.
All right. As always, Jenkins and Jones is hosted by Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. Have a good one.
LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, bubbas?
I'm Guardy B, a.k.a. Mike.
Motherfucking Mike. Was that on purpose? Was that on purpose?
Do we have brand synergy with the people who sent us equipment? The camera cuts out sometimes, so this is now we're on the other
Unfortunate.
Camera.
Unfortunate.
It produces always by the lovely and talented Jackson Saffron.
What's up?
All right, let's jump into it. Today we had the Eastern Conference play-in games. We had the Sixers Heat, and like everyone expected, it was a Batum legacy game.
Batum bonanza, as the commentator yelled.
The redemption game. Like, you know, the running joke is Blue Bucks Clan went on LA Leakers and they had that freestyle. You know, floor seats are crypto. I got my tool in fourth quarter asking why the fuck my tool in. And he fucking put Philadelphia season on his back in the fourth quarter. Right? Like, bro, it's been a crazy last few days. Like, you know, Drake shot back at everybody. Rick Ross shot back at Drake. Nick Batum shot back at Blue Bucks Clan, bro. Like, it's real out here right now.
Anybody can get it at any time.
Yeah. Yeah, Embiid, you know, y'all was in the group chat talking shit, you feel me? But he like a player that hadn't played 40 games. You know what I'm saying? That's what he looked like. They said he was like holding his knee pregame. He looked gassed for most of it, you feel me? Maxi didn't play well, but shots to Batum, man. You know what I mean? Showed up. The Frenchman. What are you, six threes? Three in the third? Or three in the fourth?
Yeah.
Something like that. Anyway, good for him.
Jackson, you're a Celtics fan. Is this what you were hoping for? Who are you trying to line up of the four teams limping through the Eastern Conference play-ins?
I suppose what did I say in the other pod? I kind of forget. I was fine with either team, I guess. I don't wish injury on anyone.
You're not worried about any of them at this point.
Well, I mean, especially now that Jimmy Butler has an MCL injury. Jimmy Butler has an MCL injury, which is very unfortunate, not wishing an injury on anyone. But if they don't have Jimmy for even a couple games, even if they make it out of the play-in, I mean, overrated. I don't think they got much of a chance. Yeah. I still think that the Celtics would have beat the Sixers if that was to be the matchup. But at this point, I mean, again, not wishing injury, but it worked out about as well as the Celtics could have hoped, I think.
All right, should we talk Lakers-Pelicans? Y'all have anything else on the Sixers-Heat game?
Nah. Was it? Wasn't
no, brother.
Let's not pretend.
Let's talk about the advisability of LeBron James taking a charge from Zion Williamson.
Whew.
Listen, bro. Zion is a fuck. He put my boy Bron's toes in the air. I ain't never seen no shit like that, dog. Like, that was a legitimate, that was not a flop, bro. He legitimately knocked Bron's clock off in that moment, dog. Like, bro, just insane. And what a fucking game Zion had. Like, 40 points. It felt like this was the game we wanted from him his whole fucking career. And I just hate how it ended for him, though, man.
40 points, blocked Bron twice, I believe. You feel me? If he doesn't get hurt, Lakers going to play the Kings. Probably going to lose. Probably going home, bro. We keep it at a bean, dog. You know what I'm saying? Bron looked gassed. AD didn't look all that good. You feel me? I don't know. Y'all want to play the Nuggets? It's, I think it's just going to be an early exit. We ain't going to give them much of a shot if we look like we did last night. You know?
I mean,
D'Angelo's not going to save us, guys. I'm sorry to say it.
My whole thing has always been, bro, get the Nuggets now because you're not going to escape them. Like, we're going to think OKC or Minnesota or Phoenix is going to knock them off. Go get them now, bro. Like, you're going to have to go to them sooner or later. Why not do it sooner?
Yeah, I mean, I hear you. You know what I'm saying? I just feel like this team is not good enough to beat that team. Lie to us a little bit, you know, play extra series maybe. You feel me? Before we get we have no chance of beating the Nuggets, bro. It's just not gonna happen.
I wouldn't go as far as no chance, bro.
Why do you?
Well, let me ask you this. No. I think the Nuggets are gonna win it all this year. I want to be very clear on that. But I want to ask you, who do you think in the West has a better chance than the Lakers of knocking the Nuggets off?
No, I mean, I'm just, I wouldn't say anybody. Frozen, I think everybody's.
I agree with the silence.
You said no. Oh, my internet is unstable. That's what's going on. Am I back?
You're back.
Yeah, you're back.
You're back. Okay, you're cool, back. Do you think anyone in the West has a better chance to beat the Nuggets than the Lakers?
I don't think that. You know, maybe I'm just frustrated, dude. You feel me? It's just looking at a team, knowing they don't have a chance with Bron and AD on it is not where I want to be at this point. At least last year, I felt after they beat the Warriors, you know what I'm saying? They look deep. They look like a good, solid, professional basketball team. They made the changes they need to make when they did in the middle of the season. And I felt like, yo, we have a chance. I can't even lie to myself this year, bro.
I mean, I think they've got a slim chance. Like you said, D'Angelo ain't going to save us. And of course, you don't want to put your all your postseason hopes on D'Angelo Russell. But the fact of the matter is,
I wasn't serious.
Yeah, he had a terrible series against Denver last year.
I think worst ever.
He averaged like 6 points per game, you know, last season. But bro, D'Angelo, ever since he got put on that fucking trading block, bro, he has been that guy. When we were like, yo, we need to get D'Angelo Russell out here for number three, he's like, no, I'm the number three. Watch me. And he has balled out, bro. And I'm not at all saying, like I said, I do think Denver wins this, but I'm not with you that Los Angeles has no chance. I think there's a slim chance. Anytime you got Bron and AD, Bron playing the best fucking basketball of just about anybody in the league since All-Star break. Like, bro, they got a shot, man. A very slim shot. I want to be clear on that, but they got a shot.
We last night, it looked like the energy he had to put forth in those must-win games for the last fucking month, you feel me, caught up to him. He looked like an old guy that had to put more effort than he wanted to at the end of the season and doesn't have as much energy right now. That's what it looked like to me. So, yes, he's been playing good, but it looked like it's worn on him throughout the season.
I think as Bron fans and as Lakers fans, what is difficult is you just keep expecting the next part of the story and it doesn't come. They got swept last year. They lose the next four. You know, you get the great quotes from AD and Bron, like, yeah, but next time. And then they lose another four games, you know? And like, you get Darvin Ham last night saying, like, we want all the smoke. We're not ducking fades. And it's like, you're 0 for your last 8 or whatever it is. And I believe 4-11 in the last 15 against this team. So at some point, is it a fade or are they just kicking your ass every day? You know?
Hey, the thing about streaks is they either keep going or they end. At the end of the day, they got to end, as Glorilla once so eloquently put it. So let's see, bro. Like I said, I think they've got us a shot, a very slim shot, but I think they got a shot, man.
Here's the craziest stat that I've heard. Nick Wright tweeted this, and we're going to talk a little bit more about Nick Wright later when we talk about the Warriors. But Nick tweeted, LeBron has now won 9 consecutive do-or-die games over the last 15 years, which is game sevens and play-ins. And he said, if you include the season, in-season tournament is 12-0. His last loss in one of those games was 2008 at Boston when he had 45-5-6 in a 5-point loss at age 23.
Did he really lose that game? 45?
So that's what it's like. But then there's this team that just has completely owned, I mean, in the way that LeBron owned the Eastern Conference for, you know, a full generation. That's how the Nuggets are doing the Lakers and everyone else in the West right now. That's what it feels like. So it does feel a little hard to wrap my head around. But I put it somewhere between no chance and a very slim chance. I'll call it like a very, very slim chance.
I'm high on the slim chance side of it. I'm high on the, I'm not in the no to slim you know area that you're at. I'm high on the slim side of this.
Speaking of Nick Wright, did you guys see the sort of pitch he gave on his show?
I saw it.
It was a decent pitch for someone who is not in agreement of the Lakers winning. He was like, What are the big, did anyone have in like a crazy shooting performance in the last series? And the answer is yes. The Nuggets shot the best in that series relative to the rest of the playoffs by far. Did any individual players
against the fucking Lakers though?
Did any individual players have either really good games or really bad or really good series or really bad series? And it was like D'Lo had the worst series he's ever had. Jamal Murray shot like 50% from three almost. So
averaged 32 a game.
So Nick Wright's pitch is that if the rosters are mostly the same and the Nuggets lost Bruce Brown, if some of those things balance out, maybe it's closer than we think. It's a good pitch. I don't really agree, but it's a good pitch.
You know how they say men lie, women lie, numbers don't? You know what I'm saying? But you can manipulate the numbers to make them lie. That's what he did. You know what I mean? You know, that's a great way to lie to yourself, you know, if you want to believe the lie. And that's I mean, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was eloquently put. You know, Nick does his homework. He's a very smart guy. But
for sure.
I mean, but if we're kind of, and I know that often playoff series are won by the role players. You know, they're the deciding factors. But I don't know if I'm just on board with the loss of Bruce Brown and the ascension of D'Angelo Russell is going to decide this series. You know, we've got Jokic and Murray and Bron and AD, you know, two of the top five fucking duos in the league. So I think it's going to come down to how well those guys play, of course. And that's not something super insightful here, but it's just fucking basic basketball.
I think Bron and Eddie can play great and they could still get swept.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I think the Nuggets are just that much better. Yes. You feel me? And I think the thing that's, they start like, Bron, I mean, Bron's been really good in the fourth quarter this season and just career-wise, period, but he really good. He looked bad last game.
He leads the league in fourth quarter scoring this
season. Yeah, yeah. Looked bad last game and they started slow. You can't, you're not going to have a chance of winning. Starting slow, like they're one of those teams who like. Go ahead.
He's been so good the last month. I know he didn't have a great game in the play-in, but I'm.
But
not,
he looked tired. He looked tired. It's the difference between looking bad and looking gassed to me. That's what it seemed. So I mean, hey, he's fucking LeBron James. He's an alien. We've seen him turn his ankle 17 ways, tie the motherfucker up, and then drop 40. So he's made a liar of me so many times. I hope he does again. I just don't see it.
You're afraid to get hurt.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, man. Nigga, I'm scarred.
You're afraid
bro.
To hope. You're
yeah,
afraid
you
to
know
hope.
What I'm saying? Yo, yeah, yeah. Got that, my heart broken one time too many, brother. You know what I mean?
We all need therapy after the that one-footed follow-away bullshit soccer throw-in that fucking Jokic put up for a made three-pointer over Anthony Davis last year. That's what it is. Yeah,
it's the Warriors, bro. It's the years with the Warriors. Them years beat my ass, dog. Okay? They hurt me, bro.
Well, let's talk about the Golden State Warriors. The fellas were looking mad prescient on the last episode when we talked about it might be closing time on the Warriors dynasty because, man, did they ever shut that shit down in Sacramento. Did you guys enjoy the end of that era of basketball or were you sad about it? And I feel like you may have different answers. Tyler, why don't you go first?
Tyler been in the trenches for a long time though, so his experience is different than mine. Yeah, I've been on Twitter. You feel me?
Yeah, I'm never going to feel sorry for the Warriors, right? You got four championships in 8 years. You won 3 and 4. A lot of people are going to say you are the best basketball team of all time, the KD era Warriors, right? Like they for sure get my vote on, and it's like. Yes, okay, the dynasty is probably ended. All dynasties end. It happens to everybody. Like, I don't have any any remorse or any pity for them. I do think that the moment where Klay was like soaking it all in was a bit, you know, that pulled on my heartstrings a little. But then I was also like, God damn, bro, you could at least hit one shot, motherfucker. You went like 0-for-10, like out there, motherfucker. Like, what are you looking back at? Like, you ain't do shit out there, but
it's ugly back there, nigga. Don't turn around, bro. Look forward, nigga. Dog.
Put that ass on your motherfucker. There. But yeah, it's I'm never going to feel sorry for them because they sure as fuck ain't feel sorry for anybody when they were beating the fuck out the league with the best fucking team we ever saw with fucking Steph and KD on the same fucking squad. So no, I'm not gonna feel sorry for this. Come on, man.
I felt bad. I think basketball was funner when they were kicking people's ass. You feel me? And it hasn't felt the same. As much as they scarred me, I watched so much basketball watching them and it was so beautiful to see. It's kind of wild. Them getting older makes me feel old too. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I'm making this shit personal, dog. Like, damn, Steph 37, how old does that make me? It's like when your shorty get, you know, the young motherfuckers is old now. God damn, bitch. That make me old as hell. You know what I mean? So, yeah, G, but like, yeah, watching that, dog, you know what I mean? I wasn't happy like I thought I would when they were like the world beaters. You know, I didn't have that experience. Like, I knew it in one day and I thought I'd be excited, like Tyler. Like, I don't have to hear the nerds in my mentions anymore. You know what I mean?
If you're in the trenches long enough, you don't mind the other side. You know, like, you're sort of rooting for mustard gas. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you're just I stepped back out of France.
And got a different view. You know what I mean? Like, if I was still in their fight with them weird ass warrior nerds, nigga, I'd be like, fuck them niggas. You know what I'm saying? Like, but nah, man, it's different. You kind of felt different seeing them go out like that.
As final proof that the world does not give a fuck about you, no matter how important in your world you may be, Klay trying to have that moment of reflection of just like, damn, one of the craziest careers in NBA history, really, like one of the craziest dynasties. He's trying to take that moment in, and the Sacramento Kings arena is playing, "This is how we do it."
Friday night, and I'm feeling right. That motherfucker is torn.
Dancing on that nigga grave, dog. Crazy, crazy.
Confetti falling, you know, the beam is lit. Like, it's Friday.
That's how it is, though. That's how it always is, bro. One team crying, another motherfucker partying, bro. How it always is. That's why we love it. But what's interesting about this too is like the Warriors are not a bad team. This is not a bad season. They were like 10 games over 500, 9 or 10 games over 500. You know what I mean? If they're in the East, they're a victim of the Western Conference. Playing the Bucks, you know what I'm saying, who don't have Giannis, have a real chance, but they're not. They're, you know, in the West, where not only are there good basketball teams, there's good young basketball teams.
Yes.
They're only going to get better. Right. You know what I'm saying? So
it's why it's so hard to evaluate them as like other basketball product this year. Because like you said, they're 10 games over 500. And while granted, it's entirely Draymond Green's fault that he missed all of those games.
Yeah.
Since when he came back, they were top 10 in offensive efficiency, defensive efficiency, like wins across, like they were like one of the best teams in the league when he plays on the court, even with the fact that they went out sad. So it's, I can understand why like Warriors fans are like, I mean, most just want Klay gone and want Kerr fired because those people are, you know, crazies. But I can understand why.
I don't get the Steve Kerr.
The Kerr stuff.
Crazy.
I do not get that shit,
bro. Do you see what the Bucks are going through now with two
god-tier
players? The Lakers? There's so many
great teams. The Celtics last year?
There's not that many good coaches in the league.
There's not many coaches. Hold on tight, brother. You know, period. But I think the best they could do is this. They're stuck in NBA purgatory in the West. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The best they can do is like squeeze into the playoffs at best, exit early as a decent NBA team because they're playing in the West. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's just sad. This is how they go out as just basic bitches when they was like the baddest bitch on the planet, nigga. You know what I'm saying? For so long, G. But Steph is what, 37?
I said the late 30s comes for all of us, John.
Bro. I mean, it looks good. I mean, he's had great moments, but also I think that shit that, like, when Draymond kind of like lost his shit, Steph is 37. That motherfucker wasn't just hurt. he was like, I'm so fucking tired of this shit. Like, you know what I mean? I'm too old for this shit. You feel me? Like, I get that energy, dog. I get that energy, G. You feel me? So
why are we having the same fucking argument after 15 years?
You're 35. You're 35, Draymond. You know better, bro. You know better. No, that man was tired, dog. Yeah, you were so tired. You were so tired. You don't want to cry. He got kids, all this shit, bro. He away from his shorties during the season, and he got to deal with this type of shit. I get it. At 37? Come on, man. It's already hard. Your body hurting already. You know what I mean? Yeah. Come on, man.
Steffi having big, cool substitute teacher who y'all push too far energy when he has those meltdowns.
Right,
hold up, man. We went a little too far, you know, but I wanted to let
you have free time today. I told you I wanted you to have free time, and now you got the fucking principal in your time.
I tried to be cool. You feel me?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And on the lines of that, you know, there was the post-game conversation where he was just like, you know, they asked, hey, do you want to see everybody come back? Blah, 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 blah. He was like, I just want us to do what we need to do to win. I was like, whoa. Like that, those are harsh words coming from fucking Steph, right? That's as controversial as Steph is going to get with you. Like that, to me, that was big motherfucker, big three, nigga. It's just big me energy right there on that quote. Like he was like, bro, fuck this friendship shit. Get me some fucking help. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I get it, guys, and we had a run.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, it's so interesting to see what they're going to do this summer, because it's not an easy fix there, bro. It's not like, you know, you're just one piece away. You're just one guy away. They've got so many things to fix. I feel like you've got to get another scorer there. I feel like you've got to get another perimeter defender there. You know, there was a point where Clay was both of those guys, which is why he was so valuable, right? He was both those guys.
And they had Poole, too, when he was looking good, too, until he got, you know what I'm saying, until last year. You know what I mean? Like, crazy. That we had seen the pickups they had, and we were thinking, like, these guys have elongated what they've already, you know what I mean? They stretched out and did what we thought they couldn't do, was set themselves up for the future to still be competing, and all that fell apart. But that's life, and that's basketball, man. It happens at some point, and it looked like it's happened. So, crazy, crazy.
That's life. That's
is
life.
My Wi-Fi fucking up again?
I want to, obviously, shout out to the Sacramento Kings. Very curious. Yeah. Yes, he can't even. His Wi-Fi is too fucked up.
Just go forth, Mike. Just go forth.
His Wi-Fi is too fucked up for him to hear me say his Wi-Fi is fucked up.
I hear you. I'm just
shout out to the Kings. I just can't respond. The last playing games in a second. But I want to talk about Nick Wright. Nick Wright, clearly with the whole household asleep, did like the night before Christmas, like whisper storytelling into the ears of all the Warriors Twitter spaces last night. And it was one of the funniest things I've ever heard, because he was just like, I don't think you understand how broken your whole franchise is. You're trying to pin this on Steve Kerr, but you're the foolish ones. Like it was so fucking funny.
Bro. Yeah, a masterclass. And of course, the clip that's been going viral was when there was that one Golden State fan was like, we watch all 82 games. We know our team. We know this roster in and out. And then Nick was like, okay, you know, that's the, you know, authority challenge fallacy right there. You know, hit it with some psychology shit. And he basically said, okay, well, by that logic, if you watch all 82 games and you know your team, wouldn't you say that the coaching staff and the front office that watches all 82 games and it's there day in and day out with these guys in practices and in film sessions is a bit more familiar with the roster than you are? And there was a resounding no
from
that fucking show. Like 30 motherfuckers chimed in and said no. And
unmute. Yeah, no.
Yeah, right? That shit was so wild to me. And look, I understand fans, you know, not agreeing with front office moves or agreeing with coaching decisions and rotating decisions and shit. But you have to understand you are not more familiar with these rosters and the talent there than these guys are, right? Like you can say, okay, there's a blind spot here. I don't know why the coaching staff doesn't see this, or why isn't our front office going after this guy? Like he would fit perfectly. Of course, you can criticize, you know, like that. But to say that you are more familiar with the roster and more familiar with you know the talent and the pieces there just because you watch 82 games while these people are there living this day in and day out every second of the fucking day. That's ludicrous, bro.
It was great. I really thankful to Nick because it was a perfect nightcap to that evening. It was just him whispering just like Japanese death poems over the whole franchise. And just like, I don't know. I really enjoyed it. All right. Let's talk briefly about the Bulls Hawks game, about the Kobe White 40-point explosion for the Bulls. I think we all knew. I mean, literally, when we tweeted today that we were going to go live on YouTube, we had like three responses that were just like, I'm a Hawks fan. This is going to be brutal. So I think everyone sort of knew how this was going to go. But was there anything that surprised you about the way this went? Or did you kind of expect to see the Hawks get?
Yeah, I mean, Kobe White continues to surprise. Like, Jesus. At the top of the season, I thought Tyrese Maxey was going to be the runaway most improved player. We got ourselves a race there, bro. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he wins that shit. He balled out, had 41, I think. But yeah, it was a game where you're like, bro, I don't know what Atlanta does here. Like, right. Kind of with the same shit with Golden State, right? Right. Like, of course, you know, they didn't have the rich people problems that Golden State had. This is a team that just never got off the runway, really. And it's like, you know, there was that moment where you just saw the frustration with DeJounte Murray after Trey passed it to him in a bad spot with the clock ticking and he couldn't really get a shot off. And it's like, bro, I just do not know what you do here with this roster either. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not giving up on Trey. I think Trey's an incredible talent. I think he's a hooper. I think Atlanta needs to stick with him going forward, of course. But as far as that, I just don't know where they go from there. I think that, you know, DeJounte Murray, he was supposed to be the Lakers savior this season until fucking, you know, D'Angelo Russell started going crazy. So, I mean, I do think that Atlanta is definitely down to ship that guy out. And I think that they have to look at that strongly because those two just, it's just not it, bro. You're just not going to go anywhere with that duo there.
Is Trae Young a number one guy? Are they going to compete in the NBA with Trae Young being the guy? You know what I'm saying? We're seeing Jaylen look special. You know, I'm looking like number one guy type material at his size, which is very uncommon. I don't think Trae Young, you know, I think Trae Young is a great, great, great second player. I think he's still an all-star level player, but I think like he needs I don't know if a team can win in the way that you would want to win or they would expect to win with, you know, with Trae.
Spurs fans want to with Wimby, which would be perfect, but I do not see how that happens. But
yeah. I mean, I think that'd be great. I would love to see it. I don't know how it happens either. I mean, make it happen. Oh, fuck it. Somebody, yeah, please. It.
You know what I mean? It's about for real.
We've got two remaining play-in games. I don't need either one of these games to occur. we've got a Bulls Heat game with no Caruso, no J-Butt. And we've got a Pelicans.
J-Butt? Is that what we doing now? J Butt.
That's what all the kids call him is J Butt. You not heard that? J-Butt?
Really? Wow. and he has such a cool.
And they wear these tight shorts, Buckets, and they listen to rappers. You can't even fucking understand what they're saying, Tyler.
Hey man, I'm gonna be honest with you. I was in a gym listening to NBA YoungBoy today. I get it, bro.
I get it. In the gym,
I get why every decision Ja Morant made. I literally thought that. Yeah, I understand it. Yo, this shit, yo, you should have to be. You should be able to listen to shit without. You know what I'm saying? In a high, you know, emotion situation under 21. That shit is crack, nigga. I was in that bag like I'm sound like Manny Pacquiao, that motherfucker. Shit, bro, crazy. So I get it, man.
He's my godson's favorite rapper. My godson.
I get it, bro. I get it, dog. Yeah. I didn't understand it till today, but I get it now.
We also have a Pelicans Kings game with no Zion. So just spectacular. Listen, you know, I think there was when they put the play-in in, there was this feeling of like, oh, it's to expand the teams that have access. That's not what it's for. It's for the 76ers. It's for a team that has a superstar that missed a bunch of time. So they fell to the 8, 9, 10.
Big
for them
market
to get a chance. That's straight up what it's for. If we get teams like the Hawks that are under 500, you get teams that are wounded. We don't need to do this shit. let's just take a vote.
This nigga Bulls said Heat. The team is Twitter, wounded.
Twitter poll. Let's just do a Twitter poll. 8 seed decided via Twitter poll.
That's crazy. Yeah, it's really been an injury fucking plague playing. See, like we got big injuries in every fucking game. That's insane, bro.
Before we take a couple questions from the chat, We have to talk briefly about the other big news from today, which is the NBA announcing that Jonte Porter has been banned for life for violating every possible rule. I mean, he committed violated criminal law, not just NBA stuff. But, you know, I think there's this big gray area around professional sports and gambling. There's obviously been a lot of conversation around that. And I do think there's a lot of gray area in there. We talked about it on The Favorites, one of the Volumes Gambling podcasts, about like, hey, maybe there should be some intermediaries that NFL players can go through, but like whatever, because some of this thing where it's like, hey, you put a parlay and it's illegal, whatever. But that's not what happened with Jonte Porter. Jonte Porter does not exist in the gray area of the new world. And I think, Tyler, you were on Bomani's show earlier, and I think Bomani said he's banned for life for being the stupidest motherfucker who's ever breathed oxygen.
Bro, but Bomani said, who the fuck thought they could make $1 million on Jonte Porter? Jonte Porter's agent doesn't even believe he could make $1 million off of Jonte Porter. But yeah, it was so fucking stupid. Putting 80 racks on Jonte Porter props? Like, how would you not think that that would have fucking, you know, alert the fraud department or whatever the fuck that sees these big bets come through, dog? It was a stupid fucking move. And the thing is, we all knew that we were probably going to have something like this and someone's going to be made an example of, bro. And I don't think they hesitated for a second about banning Jonte Porter for a whole fucking, for his lifetime. Like, that decision came down probably in like 10 seconds flat. He's lucky this shit didn't happen in David Stern's NBA, because David Stern would have probably sent Fat Tony from Piscataway to break that motherfucker's legs, too. You know what I'm saying? So you lucky you getting off light. You getting off light here, my boy. You know what I'm saying?
Crucified that nigga.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's just... Someone had to be the crash dummy, and this motherfucker was the crashiest of crash dummies, bro.
This is what I would say. Very stupid how he went about it. Yeah. But he was on a two-way. The nigga knew he wasn't going to be in the league long. That money wasn't going to last, baby. You feel me? I'm going to try to get as much as I can while I can. Ain't nobody betting on G League fucking games, nigga. You feel me? Ain't no money in that.
Okay, but let's
it's nasty work, and it's very stupid. But I understand the beginning thought. Yeah. I understand the initial thought.
The odds are better that he turns into an NBA All-Star than they were that he was going to make $1.1 million on the unders for his own fucking prop bets without getting caught. $80,000 to win $1.1 million.
I think it was a three-leg parlay. Who the fuck has $80,000 to risk on a three-leg parlay, bro? Like, come on, man. The dumbest fucking move that we've seen.
Very stupid. I get where it started, yeah, though. That's my point. Okay. I get the thought. You just don't follow up on it. You know what I mean?
It's my mom. One of the first things my mom taught me is, if it seems too good to be true, it is. Like, if you feel like, hey, I can make $1 million for nothing just by pretending to be injured.
Why doesn't everybody do this? I'm a fucking genius. This fell right in my lap. What the fuck?
No, you guys are also describing like 90% of gambling TikTok, which I'm on the outskirts of just by like participating in sports media and having that be gambling adjacent. I don't gamble anymore. I used to sports gamble. I don't gamble anymore. But all of them are like, here are three fucking locks that no one else has ever thought of. Tap in right now for these unbeatable bets. And I'm like, if they're so unbeatable, put your fucking mortgage on them, pal. Like, if you really got the locks, why are you on TikTok telling us?
Why are you telling us and not raising a GoFundMe?
And you're moving the line. You're telling people to move in the line. Well, that's Mark Cuban had a quote about that I actually really love. And it does not just apply to gambling tips, but also to business tips, real estate tips, everything else. He said this: if any actually wealthy person has a guaranteed way to make money, they're not filming themselves talking about it. They're doing it over and over and over and over again until they have an infinite amount of money. So like any idea that someone's sharing with other people, even if they're charging other people for that idea, if they're charging you for the get rich scheme,
that's how they're getting rich.
Yes.
How to get rich?
It's just that simple. And there's a lot of people out there who make money off of gambling, but most of them, if not all of them, are not on TikTok moving the line against their own bet.
I will say this. My brother's in some little groups, and he's shown me the numbers. I know it'll go the other way at some point. I hope not. But my man, whatever they doing over there, he found the right TikToker. You know what I mean? he found the right one. Because Craig, I still can't put no bread on. I just can't do it. But yeah, he showed me the numbers, bro. There's a couple people that are doing it right.
Yeah, for sure. But Jontay Porter, not one of those people.
Not one of those guys.
Jontay Porter, like, I wish we had the Curb Your Enthusiasm shot of him faking the injury, going to the bench, and sitting there looking at every other player in the arena like, these motherfuckers are stupid. Like, this is so easy.
I want to see his eyes the moment he came up with the idea. The moment the fucking idea hit him. I bet he, this light skinned ass lit up, nigga. You know what I'm saying? I bet his ass was, oh my God. You feel me? Nigga, now you're banned from the NBA for fucking life, nigga. Good luck in Shanghai. You feel me? Yeah. They'll give you $40 to play over there. That nigga, he's trash.
Anyway. Jackson, we have anything in the chat?
We do. We have a couple. We have a basketball mailbag question for Molly, and then we can do a couple non-basketball ones.
All right.
Molly said, if neither Denver or Boston make the finals, who do you guys think it would be in each conference?
That's a good question.
I'll go Lakers and Bucks.
I don't believe in the Bucks at all, bro.
Giannis hurt too.
Yeah, I'd go Lakers for the West for sure. I think that if they get through Denver, they're going to the finals. And shit,
The reason I'm saying the Bucks is because, assuming that Giannis comes back from injury, I do think they have more ingredients despite the coaching situation. Mm-hmm. And Giannis obviously and Chris Middleton, like, they have guys who've done it. So that's why I would go with the Bucks. Not because I'm bullish on them, you know, but I also don't think the Lakers are getting into the first round. So
Yeah. I mean, if not the Celtics, I'd probably go with the Knicks, even though I'm out on the Knicks without Randall. Yeah, even though I'm out on the Knicks without Randall. And I was high on them, you know, I thought they were gonna shake some shit up this postseason, so Randall went out. But yeah, it will probably be the Knicks if not the Celtics.
Same.
Okay. Jackson, you agree, disagree?
I think it would be the Knicks. I think maybe the six. I think it's probably the winner of that Knicks Sixers series is the best bet. That's outside of the Celtics.
I'm surprised nobody said Clippers.
I think the West is kind of wide open. You could say, I mean, if I still think Denver's the heaviest favorite, but outside of Denver, I think
they are the heaviest favorite in the first round.
Right, but outside of, if you're saying no Denver, I think the other seven teams, you can make a pretty good argument for all of them. Well, yeah. I guess not the Kings or the Pelicans. The other six teams that are in it, I should say.
Yeah.
Let's do this question from, I don't know how to pronounce this username, but it's a great question. Is early fall or early spring better? I feel like early spring is straight euphoria from winter depression, but early fall is really cozy.
Give me a time frame. Are we talking about March would be early spring and
I would say
September
March.
Would be early fall?
Yes, I would say so.
I'm going with early spring, bro, because early spring is like, you know, like you mentioned, you're getting out that winter depression. It is a promise of great weather for fucking 5 or 6 more months. While, you know, the fall is perfect, the weather is great, but there's also kind of a somber tone to it where you're like, okay, these are the last few good days of weather for the next 5 or 6 months, right? Like there's that like tinge of sadness that kind of hits you a bit when you're enjoying that good weather. So for me, at least personally, so I'm going with spring.
And the fall, people, the outside, days
people,
get shorter
people who
too.
Are not on the West Coast really are going through it, bro, for half the year. I feel for you, Tyler. That was like very poetic and moving. Yeah, this September, you're starting to get sad, bro. Like,
fall, the days get shorter too, as well. You know what I mean? But my allergies be kicking my ass in the spring, dog. You feel me? In fall, you know, I can get a fit off. You know what I mean? That's when I really start dressing, nigga. You hear me? I'm going with fall, brother.
That's when you and Rather really start fighting over your wardrobe.
That's when we, hey, who's wearing this jacket, nigga? You know, we wrestling over who wearing my jackets. You feel me? Yeah. I'm fucking with it.
I'm going with March. I'm going with early spring just because in Southern California, September and October are like the hottest. It's hot as fuck for whatever reason. And I actually prefer the cold weather. Like, I'm a mountain weather. 55 to 68 degrees is like perfect for me. So early spring, like the way it was March, that's my speed.
You're a mountain man?
I'm a mountain man.
I'm a mountain weather. 55 degrees is perfect.
All right, man. Last question.
Don't make me whip this body hair out right now.
Bro, I believe you, John. I believe y'all. That back probably go
this
crazy.
This back hair, you know, says 55 degrees and below.
Let's do our last question of the night from Thomas Flores. Slightly confusing question, but I think you guys might have fun with it. Who are two fictional characters you think could switch stories/worlds and the successes or hardships they face would be the same? My answer is Coach Herman, Denzel in Remember the Titans, and Coach Carter, Samuel L. Jackson.
Damn, okay, man. So the question is asking what fictional characters have like similar storylines?
I think so. If you like swapped them there, the outcomes would more or less be the same.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Odysseus from the Odyssey and Leopold Bloom from Ulysses. How about that?
I feel like our listeners have just the tip of the iceberg of an understanding of what a fucking literature psychopathic bird and Viking.
Insanity,
this is entire life.
Bro, I'm gonna disagree though on that. I feel like another literature nerd. Listen, okay, so
let me get this chair out of here. Let's talk, yeah. Tyler.
Let's talk. The Odyssey, right? It's Odysseus after the Trojan War trying to get back home, right? He's, you know, fucking military mastermind. They just beat the fuck out of Troy. It's rah, rah, rah. Let's beat our chests. Let's go back home to our wives. In fucking Ulysses, the book, that dude is like, I got to get out of my apartment because my wife is fucking her fling today. So I'm just going to make an adventure and have a day on the town. That's the theme of that. Those are like two diametrically opposed dudes right there.
Sort of. But also, if you really want to dive into the thematic, but that's sort of the point of Ulysses, is it's like the journey of an everyday man. You know what I mean? Like that's sort of the... where it's like folded in on itself. I'm so happy that we're having this conversation.
I love y'all so much.
Which would you rather do? Would you rather sail a boat between Scylla and Charybdis, or find out that you're...
I want the option where
Molly
I'm not
Bloom
leaving.
Was cheating on you.
Yeah, I want the option where I'm not leaving the crib so my wife can fuck another dude, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want that option every time. You feel me? So, yeah.
That's my answer.
I don't have an answer, but I think he got what he asked for.
Yeah, that was a good little discussion.
That was a great answer, Mike.
I appreciate Tyler challenging me because he's also correct. So he's got a great point. All right, that's it. No other questions.
That's what we got for tonight. We can take more on next one.
All right. So our recording schedule: we will be Saturdays will still be Silly Billy Saturdays for people who don't give a fuck about basketball. The Saturday episodes are for you. We will be going live twice a week on the YouTube, like we said, youtube.com/@JenkinsonJones. The next one will be after the Sunday games. So we'll have the first game from every series to talk about Sunday night. So plan on hanging out with us then. Look for the Silly Billy episode on Saturday. And thank you guys for hanging out Wednesday night. We'll see y'all soon. Bye.
Bye.
The Volume.